6:50 on this Tuesday. And, you know, one thing we know about Michigan cities and really cities everywhere is that they're facing these unfunded liabilities, these ballooning pension costs, and many of them are doing very risky things and taking very risky bets to try to cover them. My next guest has been analyzing this and says we might be in for some very serious trouble. Stephen Malanga is the is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's an author most recently of Shakedown, the Continuing Conspiracy Against the American Taxpayer. Steve, great to have you on the program.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, this is, I guess, you're also the senior editor of City Journal. So is this an issue you've been looking at for years, these pension costs?
Years and years and years, mm-hmm. actually. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is that these are problems.
Steve, I need to ask you, do you have us on a Bluetooth or
an
app?
No.
Okay.
No, just on a regular phone.
And you're on a home phone. Okay, you're just, it's a little fuzzy, so I just wanted to double check. But go ahead. So you've been looking at this for years, and what's been happening then from the time you started watching it till about now?
Well, you know, essentially what happened was that you would get these, you know, essentially politicians would say, these costs, we're not going to have to pay them for years. So if the budget's a little tight this year, we're not going to put money aside. And next year, this another politician comes along and says, we're not going to put money aside. And it was also a convenient way to do things like, for instance, increase benefits, promise workers that they're going to get more when they retire, and not have to pay for it. And not only was it pension benefits, but a lot of places began also offering health care for life for retirees. And none of this involved putting any money aside.
And how did they envision paying this off? Was there any kind of thought to that end?
Good question. One of the cities in California that went bankrupt, Stockton, California, when they went bankrupt, they had about $450 million in retiree health care debt alone. And the mayor said she had been on the city council in the early 90s mm-hmm. and voted for this in the early 90s, and now she was watching her city go bankrupt. And she said at the time, no one actually calculated how much this was going to cost. We did it because every other city was doing it, and we were under pressure to do it. So there, you know, and the point is this nonetheless takes 15 to 20 years to play out. So oftentimes, the politicians who make these promises aren't even around.
They're
in fact, that's really the case in a lot of places.
But now, what you write about this, what's happening now, and what's happening is that you say they're taking many of these cities, including many in Michigan, many municipalities, they're taking these very risky bets. What are they doing to try to cover the cost?
Well, yeah, so basically what's happening is they're missing a lot of money. The unfunded liabilities, meaning how much they've promised people that they don't have put away, it amounts to about $2 to $3 trillion in America from states and cities. So one of the things that Michigan and other places are doing is they're allowing municipalities, and also states are doing this, to borrow money, put the money in a trust fund, and then invest it in the stock market. And essentially they're betting that what they're going to do is they'll have money 15 or 20 years from now, because the investment in the market is going to do better than what it's costing them to pay the interest on the borrowing.
Oh, that's crazy. So they borrow the money, right?
Yes.
And they're paying interest, and then they take that money and invest it. Now, I mean, how does that work out? What is the interest typically to the returns they're expecting?
Well, it depends on, you know, what interest rates are over time. Right now, interest rates are very low, and so that's one of the things that's stimulating people to say, oh, we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there have been other periods of time when interest rates have been low, and people have borrowed money. In some cases, when they've borrowed money, they've actually said things like, it would be irresponsible not to borrow money right now because money is so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know what happens. We all know what happened to the mortgage market when people went out and were borrowing money because it was so cheap. And so this was something that was done in the 90s, and it blew up in people's faces after the technology stock market melted down in 2000, and then in 2008 the market melted down again.
Right.
So some of the most prominent bankruptcies, including Detroit and Stockton, California, included these pension bonds.
Now, I should note, though, that you write that in 1986, Washington, the federal government banned local governments from issuing tax-free debt to raise funds for investment. So how are they doing this now?
Yeah, Well, what happened was that what they were doing was basically raising money with tax-free debt, which is very, very cheap, and investing into things like corporate bonds and just basically taking the difference, which is a great way to operate, except that the federal government was subsidizing this because they're the ones who make the bonds tax-free. So the federal government says you can't do this with tax-free money anymore, and everybody thought it would go away. Mm-hmm. Instead, what the cities and states started doing, and this is where politicians really worry me, they started issuing taxable debt, which means you have to pay higher interest rates. But they justified it still on the grounds like, oh, well, we're going to get 8% a year every year when we invest this money. It doesn't matter if we have to pay a few percentage points more to borrow the money. Everybody thought in Washington these were going to go away when they changed the rules. But instead of going away, they just made them riskier.
So the 8% a year, how are they anticipating that?
Well, you know, this is one of the big problems we have with pension funds in America. The entire financial structure of these funds for years has been based on we're going to get 7.5 to 8% a year on average every year, year after year. And one of the reasons we're in so much trouble right now, of course, is that we've had these big meltdowns in the marketplace where we haven't actually gotten that amount. And so over time, when you miss that number year after year, and then you have big declines like 30%. The S&P went down 30% in 2008. When you have those kind of big declines, there's so much money that's missing from the system, and you're supposed to be getting these investment returns, right? But, you know, even if you did get 8%, if your system is only, let's say, 60% funded, which is very typical, that means 40% of the money is missing. You know, so what's 8% of money that's missing, right? It's still zero.
Okay, it just sounds all so crazy, though. So
it is.
Most of these bonds, I mean, have we had these bonds issued since the Great Recession? Is that still going on now?
Yes, it is, definitely. And that's one of the things I wrote about in this particular piece. Kansas is doing $1 billion in this borrowing. Pennsylvania is talking about $3 billion in borrowing. Michigan municipalities have... I think up to this point have issued about $750 million in these health care retirement bonds.
And you're saying it's the interest rates are just so low they can't help but proceed?
Well, that's the way they feel.
But tell me this. So, I mean, you said only 60% funded many of these funds. So where, I mean, is there a different approach that would be more effective?
Well, of course, the different approach is this. Number one, you have to roll back the future pension benefits so you stop accumulating this debt. And a lot of people issue these bonds because the politicians don't have the will to stand up and say, listen, we can't afford this level anymore, and so we're rolling back the future benefits that we're going to promise to people.
And what does that mean, rolling back? What do you mean?
Well, for instance, you change your legislation to say that the workers, this is very typical in the private sector, it happens all the time, you know, from now on, the workers have to contribute more, a greater percentage to their pension. You raise the retirement age. You do things like you don't enact cost of living adjustments, which are very expensive. Mm-hmm. So you change the level of the benefits that people are going to receive. So you can, by putting money into the system, you can claw your way out of debt by not accumulating future debt so fast. And that's the biggest problem.
And you're saying that, in a sense, has to be done?
Well, it always depends on the level of debt in the system. But most of the places that are borrowing money, these are places that have big debt. And so if you have big debt in the first place, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what's wrong with our system that we've accumulated so much debt? And if you don't fix what's wrong, borrowing a loan is not going to get you out of trouble.
Okay, tell me this. All these loans that are being taken out now, they're going to expire, what, in 15, 20 years from now?
Many of them are 20. Some of them are 30-year loans, actually.
Okay, yes. So what could happen then? Could there be another set of loans then?
Well, that's a very interesting question. We are totally in uncharted territory right now. We have people who borrowed money 20 years ago. New Jersey is a good example. They were one of the early people borrowing these pension bonds. Rather than this digging them out of their problems, they have the second worst pension problem in the country because they borrowed money. The stock market did not return nearly as much as they projected it would on that money. Uh-huh. And on top of that, they never bothered to fix their pension system when they were borrowing the money.
So now they're even in more debt, you're saying?
Oh, so much more. Yes.
And so what is it going to be, some kind of a bankruptcy that happens?
Well, states, of course, themselves can't go bankrupt. But what you have is you have this tremendous squeeze on the taxpayer. So Illinois is the perfect example of this. Once upon a time, it was typical that states only spent 5% of their budgets on pensions. Mm-hmm. In order for Illinois to pay off its pension debt, it has to spend 20% of its budget just on pensions, and they'd have to do that every year for the next 15 to 20 years. You can't really run a state like that. And so what's happening is they're raising taxes, they're cutting other services, mm-hmm. It's what we call crowding out.
Is there any state that's got their books in order?
Oh, yeah, there are quite a few states. Utah is a good example. Mm-hmm. Utah acted very proactively after 2008 when the market went way down and they saw their pension funds start to sink. They got very worried about it, and they moved in, and within a couple of years, they did a whole big reform in which they changed their pension system, they lowered the future benefits, mm-hmm. and they're managing to dig their way out of it.
They got on top of it. So are you saying it's time to move to Utah in 10 years or so? Everyone goes to Utah? Right. Well, no, it just sounds like other states were going to just be struggling with services and taxes. Is that what it's going to be?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, a very good point. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago.
About 30 seconds here, by the way, Steve.
Yeah. Rahm Emanuel said, basically, if we don't fix this in Illinois, people aren't going to want to move here because of the property taxes, and businesses aren't going to move here because they know they're going to be taxed on all of this. And he was right on the nose when he said that.
Steve Malango, Manhattan Institute. Steve, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, and that is it for us. Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. And if you missed any of it or want to hear parts that you may have not caught, check us out online, 1320wils.com, where we post all our interviews. And we do stream live there, too. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.